Thank you for joining me, everybody. This is Dennis Mann with Dennis Mann's Podcast. Today is Tuesday, August 29th, 2017. And today we're going to look at the Kristen Modafferi case. And specifically, I want to talk about one of the theories that even people in law enforcement think may have happened to Kristen. And I want to take turns on debunking that theory. And that's specifically where Kristen was just a victim of a killer sneaker wave out at Land's End Beach, where these waves come crashing ashore and they actually knock people off their balance. People fall in, and then they get swept out to sea, never to be seen again. And part of the validity to that argument is that it does happen. It does happen. But there's so much in my mind to think that that's not what happened to Kristen, and I'm going to take today's podcast and share with you the pros and cons of it, okay? So anyway, Kristen disappeared on June 23rd. We know for a fact that 2 days earlier, which was summer solstice, that we know for a fact that Kristen went out to that beach because she was talking to her coworkers about where to go, and they mentioned a beach, and she went out there, and she even told her roommates that she went out there and she enjoyed it. She was out there on the 21st, which is summer solstice. It's, you know, the actual the middle of the year point there. And there's a lot of people out at the Ocean Beach out there having what they call raves. They actually take driftwood from the sea that comes in, and they assemble and they build a bonfire. And it's actually pretty neat. If you go out there late at night, all along the beach, like a 2 mile stretch, you see all these people with these bonfires, and the kids just sit around and they're just drinking beer, probably getting high, but they're not causing any trouble. They're having a good time. And it's just San Francisco at its best, really, those summer parties on the beach with the fires. And Kristen was out there, and she told her roommates the next day that she went out there with two women. And these women have never come forward, by the way, so we don't know who these women are, but that she had a good time. So that was Saturday the 21st. On the Monday the 23rd, Kristen was talking to her coworkers again. She's getting off work around 3:30, and she didn't know what she wanted to do, so they were like throwing ideas at her. And one was go out to the beach. Well, she already been out there. And so we're not positive she went out to the beach on the 23rd. That's number one. Okay. Yeah, the bloodhounds did track her scent out to that beach. But the problem is, we know for a fact that she was there on the 21st. So it could have been the dogs tracking her scent from the 21st and not the 23rd. So that's number one. But if anybody knows the San Francisco area, if you go out Geary Boulevard till it dead ends, it'll drop you off out there at Land's End Beach where the Cliff House restaurant is, where the Sutro Baths are, or the remnants of it. It burned down several times. But that's right where Kristen's scent was last seen. And that, again, from the 21st. But let's say we want to assume it was the 23rd. Well, if you know anything about San Francisco, it's a tourist town. And one of the main tourist spots in all of San Francisco, okay, is Land's End Beach, the Cliff House area. And the reason why I say that is because I spent many, many, many days out there with a big billboard sign for Kristen Modafferi, hoping somebody would come up and talk to me about maybe they've seen her, you know? And the one thing that really made an impact on me when I was out there, even on rotten, crummy days when it's cold and it's rainy, there's still hundreds of people out there. Because what's happening is the tourist buses are coming in every 15, 20 minutes. There's even a special place that private people can't park, taxi cabs can't park, only tourist buses can park. It's that kind of environment. And I remember one day it was really rotten, it was raining, but every 15 minutes these tourist buses would be coming, parking there, and then people would get out and they'd walk around for 15, 20 minutes, get back on the bus, and the bus took off and another bus would pull into that slot, right? Well, that's on a rainy, cold day. On a nice day, you know, we checked the weather for June 23rd, 1997. Forget it. It's like Grand Central Terminal out there. There's thousands of people mulling around. So if Kristen did fall into the ocean that day, somebody, because there were thousands of people, somebody would have seen her. Maybe they couldn't do anything. Maybe Kristen, unless you're going to say Kristen fell in and she didn't say a word and nobody saw her. Well, that doesn't make any sense if you actually take the time to go out there and look at the teeming crowd of humanity by the water's edge there. So it never made any sense to me. And I know people in law enforcement, and even I just learned today, some clergymen were telling the Modafferis, that they just have to live their life with the assumption that a sneaker wave came in and took their daughter out to sea. And the best thing they can do is go home and just try to accept that fact and live their life. What is a bunch of nonsense? There's no way I believe that. There's just no way I believe that. So that's one thing. But the other thing I want to share, I'm going to stick it in tonight's podcast because this is really important. And it's probably the most profound story that I've come across in all my 21 years. We had a, in the very, very early days, I want to tell you about a man I met and the story he told me. I no longer believe it. If anybody comes to me with any psychic stories or dreams, I'm looking for the door to get out of there. But in the early days, before I knew better, me and the Modafferis too, we would listen to everybody. And we had a couple of tips early on from psychics that said that Kristen was in Watsonville, California, and she was being held captive in a warehouse with like a curved metallic roof, and I was supposed to go down there. So, you know, when I was in California, I didn't really place too much emphasis on that lead, but after a while, you've done everything you can do. You don't know what else to do. And you say, well, I'll go down to Watsonville and pass out flyers. So I get in my van, I drive down there from San Francisco down to Watsonville. It wasn't really that long of a drive. And I'm passing out flyers, right? And I go into this hardware store. It wasn't like Home Depot or Lowe's. It was like a private one, just a small hardware store. And I walk in. And by this time, I've handed out thousands of flyers, and I'm used to people being nice to me, people being indifferent, and even people being mean to me. You know, but I would just forget all about that. When I hand somebody a flyer, all that I care about is they would look at the girl's face, and then if they want to tell me go to hell or F off, that was fine, but I would always insist that they look at Kristen's face on that flyer. And so as I was walking into this hardware store, I was in the lobby, and there's maybe, I don't know, six or seven customers in there, and I passed out the flyers. And as I'm passing out the flyers, I could see the man behind the counter looking at me. You know, he was giving me the stare, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be trouble. But like I said, I was on a mission for Kristen, so I kept on passing out the flyers. And I knew sooner or later he was going to approach me, and he did. He walked up to me, and he goes, son, can I help you? What do you got there? And I handed him the flyer, and I was waiting for him to tell me, get the hell out of my store, you know? But instead of that, he goes, I need to talk to you. Come here. Follow me. I said, okay. I wasn't expecting that. But he walked behind the counter back into the warehouse, and I followed him back into the warehouse. And then he turns around, and he says, you know, my name is so-so, and I forget. There's been too many years, and I forget his name. But let's say his name was Steve. And he goes, what's your name? I said, Dennis, man. He goes, Dennis, I want to thank you for what you're doing. Well, that caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that, you know. I was like, whoa. I was expecting him to tell me to get lost. But he says, I want to tell you a story. And this is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing story he told me. He said, Dennis, he said, 30 years ago, I came home from work and my wife and my daughter were missing. They were abducted. And then my life just ended that day. My life ended. He said, you know, he said, 5 years later, they found my wife buried on the side of a hill. And to this day, we've never found my daughter. And then he said this to me. He said, Dennis, you know, the hard part was not when my wife and my daughter were abducted. And he said, the hard part was not even when they found my wife buried on that hill 5 years later. And he said, as crazy as it seems, the hardest part was not that the fact that they've never found my daughter. And he looked at me, he said, Dennis, the hardest part, for the sake of my own sanity, I had to put this down, turn around, and walk away. And he looked at me and he said, Dennis, when that happens, that's when you need your friends. And I never forgot that, man. I never forgot that. But he goes, listen, you can pass out flyers all day long here. And I did. I stayed there for a couple hours, and I walked around town. Watsonville's the small area, so I was able to cover the town pretty quickly. But, we, you know, besides passing out the flyers, nothing ever came of that psychic's tip. But I did get to meet that man. I just wanted to share with you that story. So anyway, so that's what we have for today. And the important thing is to not forget about Kristen, and I know we're not going to do that here. So we're on iTunes, we are on Google Play and Stitcher, and the best thing you do is just tell your friends about the podcast, and we'll continue to try to do what we can for Kristen. Okay, thank you very much, everybody.